Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. We've been talking about innovation in Milwaukee this week on WUWM, and one of the ways our scientific community has been especially innovative is in the field of medicine, both in research and practice.
Surgeon James Sanger is especially noteworthy for his work as a plastic surgeon and a hand surgeon, but his patients are noteworthy too. Dr. Sanger is the surgeon on call for the Milwaukee County Zoo's bonobo population. It's a job he does pro bono. His work is the subject of a feature in the March issue of Milwaukee Magazine.
Sanger himself is out of the country. We'll meet him in the weeks to come. But we're joined this morning by managing editor Dan Simmons, who explained how he first heard about Dr. Sanger's unusual patients.
A friend of mine in Madison told me about him, and she came upon him because he was treating her daughter, who had some very serious health issues and needed a lot of reconstructive surgery on her arms and hands. And in the course of setting up appointments, she would sometimes find that he wasn't available, and the receptionist would tell her that, you know, he's at the zoo today.
Not exactly what you want to hear your doctor doing, necessarily.
No. And so Jessica, my friend, is a journalist as well, and she asked what the heck he does at the zoo, and so they told her the story of his treating bonobos' fingers. Who knew bonobos had finger issues, but they do.
Yeah, from the article, it's like they will break them, particularly the young males, because they get rambunctious.
Yeah, it happens more when the females who rule the world for bonobos go to discipline the young out-of-line males. And the way they do that is to actually attack them in the rear end. And so then your mom or your aunt's coming at you, your rear end to inflict a wound. So you're going to reflexively put your arms up to defend yourself. And in that clash, sometimes their fingers break.
And so how did Dr. Sanger, when you talked to him and found out that he has this whole second life at the Milwaukee Zoo as the bonobo hand specialist, how did he first get involved?
So he is a well-known and highly respected surgeon for humans, but he also studied zoology in college and has always had a very avid interest in animals of all kinds. And so I think in the early 1990s, another prominent doctor in town had been doing some studies with Samson, the famous gorilla. And somehow it came up that these bonobos were having issues with their hands, and Dr. Sanger was kind of the logical doctor who treats humans with these kind of issues. And then it was kind of an added bonus that he had a particular interest in animals going way back to his childhood.
Yeah, I mean, here's somebody who's not a veterinarian, but has at least a zoological background of some kind.
Yeah, and bonobos in particular, they share, I think, 98.5% of our DNA. So it's not like they're hands are hugely different from human hands. There are distinct differences, but they're alike enough that a lot of the surgical skills transfer. Well, he also has to deal with the social component of bonobos, which is obviously a very, very different thing than it is in humans.
Yeah, I understand that he has zoo technicians with him, animal care specialists, because otherwise, even though I assume that if an animal is being operated on, it's anesthetized because you don't want it in pain, but you also don't want it hitting you.
Yes, one of his first surgeries, in fact, I think it was his first one. I think it was maybe an orangutan at the zoo. He treats apes of all kinds, but he's kind of specializes in bonobos. Anyway, during this surgery, the animal was anesthetized, but something about the process allows them to still move about, even though they're really not conscious. And so here he is, you know, working on this powerful, hairy creature, and it just kind of like moved its arm quickly, and he dashed out of the room. Because he thought maybe the anesthesia wasn't strong enough or was wearing off. So,
were you able to actually go with him on any kind of surgery, or was this just a conversation that you had with him?
Just a conversation. I certainly wanted to, but it's fairly rare now that he operates on bonobos. Obviously, it's completely on call. It's just when bad things happen, and so you can't predict when that's going to happen. And more often than not, now they've, as he says, they've kind of evolved out of needing him because they found measures short of surgery that can fix most of their problems.
But he is still on call. He's still the guy.
He is. he's going to retire from his regular medical practice in the next year or two, I think he said. And he is still on call at the zoo. And I think in retirement, he plans to get a little more involved at the zoo.
Well, this has all been volunteer on his part, right? He has not charged the zoo for any of this.
Yes. And he said the payback is all just the satisfaction of working with these animals, especially those facing extinction, is all the compensation he needs.
When you did the research on this and you did those initial interviews, what was the most surprising thing that you found?
I'll say bonobos' saliva. We talk about how similar humans are to bonobos. This is one way they're utterly and totally different. When Dr. Sanger operates on these animals, they're left with these really ghastly-looking wounds, as anyone would be. And so with humans, you bandage them so they don't get infected. With bonobos, you just let them be. With humans, you obviously not only bandage them, but tell them not to touch him. With bonobos, they can't obviously understand him, but he just lets nature take its course, and they lick the wounds over and over and over and over, and that's the best treatment possible because their saliva through millennia has evolved to become very wound healing, because obviously in the wild, there's no Dr. Sanger to see. So if they get wounds, they have to treat them naturally some way, and that's where their saliva comes in.
Very interesting. So they basically have antibacterial saliva.
Exactly.
We should be so lucky.
Dr. Sanger said it's one way we've evolved too far.
We've gone backwards in some way. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a great story. Dan Simmons, as always, great to chat with you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Dan Simmons is managing editor at Milwaukee Magazine, and he co-wrote the feature on Dr. James Sanger in the current issue. You'll find a link to the magazine from WUWM.com.